first report. The letter has been given to the secretary for reporting purposes. I'll finish where I left off. I'm happy to report that after reaching out to the teaching staff, we have an application to have the teacher seat filled on the CBOC by
Samantha Petrick.
Samantha Petrick. Having a teacher on the CBOC again will provide additional perspective to the oversight committee and will provide the opportunity for the teachers to have additional information on just how the budget is allocated. Each year, the budget is a careful balance crafted by the administration and approved by the board. All departmental needs are filled as well as possible based on the available funding. Yes, Odyssey is a charter school that receives public money, but the public money does not provide any funding for capital costs. A great deal of private money is needed to fulfill that need. Aggressive fundraising is needed to secure the private donations needed. Odyssey has also taken steps so that the unused buildings generate income from the lease to academia and future tenants. The Odyssey purchase of buses has also been able to generate income based on servicing Red Clay School District routes after the Odyssey routes are run. In my opinion, Odyssey is being run properly and as efficiently as possible, given the financial resources available. Sincerely, Paul Brooks, CBOC Chairman. So I'll give that to you. So, like I said, we'll try to do monthly reports from the CBOC, and we'll see how that goes. On to new business. What's that?
Actually, old business first, new business. So if you can go to the voting for the...
So on my agenda, it's new business.
Okay.
The next one is consideration of proposed bylaw amendments circulated to board in writing by email on January 23rd, 2019. So does somebody have a motion? Tammy, since you raised the one of these proposals, do you want to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion. I raised the amendment bylaw to be the 3/4 majority rather than the 2/3. So I would like to make a motion for the board to accept and to establish the bylaw amendment necessary for 3/4 majority. And I can read it as well.
I think everybody has it.
Yeah, I would like to make the motion for the board to have a 3/4 majority rather than the 2/3 majority.
So let's make it a little bit more simple than that. Let's just say you make a motion to amend the bylaws in a manner similar to the proposed amendment that was circulated on January 23rd, 2019, which included a 3/4 majority vote for certain items. How about that?
That's easier.
Well, it was easier than conflating the two.
All right. So I would like to make a motion to amend our bylaws similar to the January 23rd amendment,
yeah.
Which included a 3/4 majority vote for defined...
For certain motions as defined in the amendment.
Perfect. For certain motions as defined in the amendment.
Okay.
Write this down so I don't forget.
Would you like me to read it back?
Yes.
Okay.
Please.
Motion for board to amend the bylaws in a manner similar to the proposed amendment that was circulated on January 23rd, which included a three-quarter majority vote for certain motions as defined in the amendment.
Yeah, so let's be a little bit more specific about that and just say instead of the bylaws, say Article 2, Section 8.
Of the bylaws.
Is that okay, Tammy?
Yes.
Okay. That motion, so do you want me to reread it or is that okay?
I believe that's okay.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, so Tammy made the motion. Is there a second?
I second.
Laura seconds. Is there any discussion?
The only point is right now there's a simple majority that's required to approve any actions under Article 2, Section 8 of the bylaws. So anything above a simple majority is tightening those requirements. And this is going from a simple majority of 5 to a 7-person requirement.
Or 3/4.
Well, 3/4.
Yeah, 3/4 of the amount of the members. And so there I'll just note that there are two competing proposed amendments that are out there. And I think that the proper way to do this is to take the one that goes further first, because if it, you know what I mean? So this necessarily includes the 2/3. If this passes, then we're at 3/4 and 2/3 is subsumed into that. If not, then we still have the option of the 2/3 as well out there. So I don't think it makes sense to do the 2/3 first and then do the 3/4.
I was just saying that at present right now, it's a simple majority.
Correct.
And I just note that we voted for this before and the claim was that we didn't have enough time to thoroughly think about it. Now we've had time to think about it.
Sure.
And I think that we remember that meeting with the attorney and the attorney's recommendations, and also the fact that now we are one individual less. And this is necessary since we are one individual less on this board. I mean, we need to think about the future of the school and the PIC and the DOE's email from a few weeks ago.
Let's,
we need this.
So
right, I'm not gonna get into
still
details, but we need the 3/4 majority. The 3/4 majority is simple, it's finite, it goes to a HEPA, it will show the PIC, it will show DOE exactly what we are doing, and it acts in good faith, you know? It truly acts in good faith. And now that we are one individual down on this board, and we may not have another individual for a month, or 2 months, or 3 months, 3/4 majority is necessary at this point. And if anyone has any issues with the 3/4 majority, you know, I'm asking myself why. There's no reason to not have a 3/4 majority. Absolutely not. We voted for it before.
Does anybody have any other comments? So my comment is that respectfully, I disagree with you, Tammy. I don't think 3/4 is necessary. I think there are other ways that these types of issues are dealt with. Conflict of interest provisions. We all have fiduciary duties of loyalty to this organization and candor and care that we all have the responsibility to live up to. Whether it's 3/4 or 2/3 or a simple majority, I don't think that makes one is not better than the other. So I disagree with you on that. As far as the necessity of this, I do think that there's some merit to this idea. I think 3/4 is not necessary. I think 2/3 is could be reasonable, but I think 3/4 takes it too far, especially when there has been no historic examples of any types of financial inappropriateness by a HEPA or an individual of a HEPA or in a HEPA-sponsored project. So I agree that these issues do need to be addressed. I think with the procedures that we have in place, they have been addressed, and if there ever is a situation in which an issue rears its ugly head, I think we have the ability to deal with it.
A point of clarification,
sure.
Please. So if we're looking at, for instance, the difference between 3/4 and 2/3, and for instance, we are an 8-member currently.
Right.
So if we had, for instance, in a HEPA-related vote coming up.
Yeah, I think I know where you're
going. So if we are 3/4, then that's 6 of the 8.
Mm-hmm.
If we are 2/3, it's 5.3 of
mm-hmm.
the 8.
So I would think it's still
rounded up to 6
yes.
anyway, right, in that situation?
Right, exactly.
Okay.
But I don't think we can
go
on.
The difference is when we're full.
Exactly.
The difference between 6 and 7.
And
part of the argument, I think, towards the 3/4 is only because the issues have been raised, whether they're justified or not. I think that if you are looking at that 7 that pushes it to 2 additional members over the HEPA portion of the board, that it definitely sends that message of confidence in the vote. So that's just a point for consideration
sure.
there as well. That just because it has been questioned, that I think that also can again underline the legitimacy of the vote.
Sure. And just to clarify what you were saying before, Laura, about, you know, the numbers,
mm-hmm.
this doesn't just kind of give us a guideline for when we're a full board. It could give us a guideline for when we're a board of more than 9, if that's the way that the board wants to go. So if we have a board of 13, say, then it would be 2/3 or 3/4 of 13. So
right.
It does reach those crevices too.
I'm just gonna speak one more time since I proposed it. Gentlemen, using your words, you said one is not better than the other. If one is not better than the other, why can't we have the 3/4?
Well,
I mean,
so if you're asking me a question,
Let me finish. We as the teachers, the community have spoken. Like, teachers did not feel they were listened to. We unionized. Teachers did not feel that we were listened to. We had the vote of no confidence. What more can teachers do? Teachers are going to start to leave the school. Teachers are what drive the school, which give the school this educational value. Teachers are going to leave. Your students, your children are going to suffer because of this. We're simply asking for 3/4. If one is not better than the other, if one is no different than the other, then why can't we have this 3/4? What more can teachers do? What have we done?
So when I said one is not better than the other, it's a matter of degree. I mean,
right.
I'm just speaking about myself. For me, I think a simple majority with the procedures that we put in place, a conflict of interest provision, the fact that we all have fiduciary duties to this school,
right,
is enough for us as a board to continue to operate. I don't think that, especially when there's been no historical instance of something that could
well,
of that kind of
the
issue.
Comes out. Let's wait till DOE
and,
does its investigation.
I mean,
Tammy,
we voted to not renew a contract of a Greek American, a HEPIN headmaster, and then we voted as a board and majority, all the HEPINs, voted to bring in a non-Greek, 2 non-Greek leaders, non-a HEPINs.
You voted to bring in a woman who is qualified.
Exactly.
She's a woman and a non-Greek.
I'm bringing up the AHEPA aspect of this. You know, we as an AHEPA board, you know, the
You're
our members.
Board?
No, our HEPIN members, because this is where it's going.
Enough said. We need that.
Jesus, let's vote. Bring it to
vote. We are a HEPIN board, actually.
You're not. You're an Odyssey Charter School board.
If this was, if your reasoning was correct, we would have kept our previous headmaster because he was a HEPIN and a Greek.
All right. So
American.
All right. So let's So if there's no more further comment, let's take a vote. The motion, does anybody have any other comment?
Of course not. You're on a Hepburn board.
I said, I meant to say a Hepburn board.
Oh, you thought it.
You said some things you were incorrect.
So the motion is for the board to amend the Article 2, Section 8 bylaws in a manner similar to the proposed amendment that was circulated on January 23rd, 2019, which included a three-quarter majority vote for certain motions as defined in the amendment. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Two in favor. All opposed? Say nay.
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 Was that?
Six.
Six. Six of us. So the motion fails. Is there another motion? Does someone want to make a motion on the two-thirds?
Since it's been circled, do we have to vote on it?
No, I think someone just needs to make a motion. Is there a motion on the two-thirds?
Put a motion out to adopt the two-thirds majority vote for actions under Article 2, Section 8 of the bylaws.
Is there a second? You got it, Laura?
Is it the same?
Yeah, I think you can just do the same exact thing.
Is that all right with you, Elise? If it's the same wording except two-thirds?
Okay, so it's Elias's motion. Is there a second? I will second the motion. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, we'll have a vote. So the motion is, motion for the board to amend the Article 2, Section 8 bylaws in a manner similar to the proposed amendment that was circulated on January 23rd, 2019, which included a two-thirds... two-thirds majority vote for certain motions as defined in the amendment.
I would just like to add in there, which increases from a simple majority to a two-thirds.
Okay. Which increased a simple... Yeah, so I think what we can say is motion for board to amend the Article 2, Section 8 bylaws in a manner similar to the proposed amendment that was circulated on January 23rd, 2019, which increases a simple majority vote to a two-thirds majority vote for certain motions as defined in the amendment. Does that make sense? All right, that's the motion. All in favor? Aye. Two of us. All opposed?
Aye.
Six against.
I think if you call by person to do.
Okay. Okay. All right. Both motions have failed. Moving on, I'm going to flip things out of order again. One of the things that we have to do is fill this vacant spot. And a lot of people have been asking about it. So what I propose that we do is, as is done before in accordance with the bylaws, is to create a nominating committee for the position. Elias has volunteered, and the person chairing the committee has to be a non-Ahepin. So Elias has stepped up and volunteered to chair that committee.
Was there an email about volunteering to chair this committee? Because I didn't get one.
No, there was not.
So how would we have known to volunteer to chair this committee?
We can have a vote on it if you want.
No, I'm just wondering, in the issue of transparency,
okay.
I'm wondering how this...
So that's a board matter. But if we want to have a vote about who chairs the committee, that's fine.
No, I'll just for you.
So we want to create a nominating committee for the community at large spot that's vacant right now. That will, with the idea that hopefully we'll have a recommendation at the next board meeting. Hopefully. So we need at least two more people on that committee. Who wants to volunteer to be on that committee? Tammy, do you want to volunteer to be on that committee?
Sure.
It doesn't really matter who chairs it.
I mean, I'm not part of the Ahepin board, but I'll volunteer. Absolutely. I would love to be a part.
Anybody else? Anna Maria, thank you very much. Okay, so this committee, in the first instance, will focus on filling the spot for the community at large position as soon as possible. What we also have to do is we have to, and this hasn't been done in the past, it should have been done in the past, but it hasn't, for the non-Ahepin members, when this whole board turned over back when we all started 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, it was decided that we can't have everybody off at the same, we can't have everybody come off at the same time. So, it was put in the bylaws that every year, three people would have, either their term would have to end or they would have to completely come off. The Ahepin part of this board has done that. George Rigos has come off, Dimitri Dandelos has come off, Michael Klazaris has come on, and George Moutsatsos and Anna Maria came on. So the Ahepins have been cycling off as the bylaws have required. What we haven't done is have the other four spots cycle off. So what we need to do is, and the idea was that the first year, I think it was two Ahepins, one non-Ahepin after the first year. So Tammy, if you were the person that was up that year, that would just be the end of your first term. You wouldn't have to completely come off, then you would have 3 years after that. Mm-hmm. So we need to come up, and maybe this is something for the nominating committee to decide and make a recommendation to the board, figure out exactly how that procedure will be done because technically the three of you are up at the end of this school year to either be renewed or to come off. So there needs to be some sort of procedure that we need to kind of backtrack a little bit and figure out who's coming off, who's on for another 2 years, who's on for another 3 years. So I think that's the way that it was originally intended.
And you have Abby in the mix too.
Right, and right. I think the person who comes on who will take over her position will probably be on, well, I mean, the nominating committee can discuss this, but maybe the person that comes on will be on for this, the person will kind of take over for Abby's remainder of this year and then maybe two more years. I don't know.
Yeah, and there are two separate issues. I mean,
they are two separate issues.
There's the finding a replacement for the main board position of the community rep, and then there's how do we work a structure for people cycling on and off the board. Those are two separate things, and they might not be done congruently.
And the interest of transparency, would we be able to look at the current board members and say,
yeah, so you want to do that right now?
How much time they have left?
Well, let's do that right now. Let's figure it out right now.
All right.
So for me, this is the end of my third year. It will be at the end of my first term. So I'll be up at the end of this year, the end of this school year, I can either come off or be up for another term.
Same with me.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, how should I record that?
I don't know.
End of the amount of first time that everyone's term been on the
board. In on July 30th, June 30th.
Temporary filling in for somebody.
Yeah. Okay, and that's the same for George. That's the same for me.
Well, maybe not.
It is for me.
Yeah, you've been on.
That's the end of my first term.
Right, but what I was saying is that under the bylaws, we had to. Some of the non-happens needed to
staggered system.
Right, but what I'm saying is because we didn't stagger, the end of my first term is June 30th.
Right, but what we're trying to do is make sure that we don't have complete board turnover all at the same time.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so I mean,
so does the nominating committee, or does someone just want to volunteer to have a less than a 3-year term coming up? And so that we can get back to that staggering that we didn't implement over the last couple of years.
I volunteer. And I know you're giggling because I talked to you about it a little bit before. I'm doing my doctorate, and I'll be into the writing portion of it. And as much as I'm glad that I've had the opportunity to give back to Odyssey, I still would like to participate as a parent. But I think that in order to feel that I wouldn't be detracting from the good work I'd want to do here, I'm going to need to not do this job so I can do the good work on my doctorate.
I don't think we need to ask anybody to step off the board.
No, that's not what I meant. And I hope that's not a final decision.
And there's things in the bylaws too, which say, you know, 3 years plus an option for an additional 3 years plus turnover. And so there's a lot of back.
Yeah, so I think the nominating committee needs to come up.
We can take a look at all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's all in the bylaws.
Starting this term.
If I can just add that Mary Lou Strauss, from the former board, she was the chair of the last nominating committee, and she's still on site. She still does work at Odyssey, and she might be a good resource for.
Yeah.
Are you chairing? If you want, I don't know if you want to use her as a resource or not, but I think that she could probably give some good insight from the last go around.
She's not teaching anymore, though.
She's doing some.
She has
teaching in her bones. Yes. So whenever she wants to come and work at Odyssey, she's on her team.
So I'm in my first term, and that ends in June of 2020.
So Laura, I don't know that we want to put this in the minutes because I don't want anything to be inaccurate because we're kind of going off the top of our head. How about we task the nominating committee with figuring that out. I just don't want anything to be, and then we can put it in the next month's minutes.
Okay.
I mean, they can make a report.
Make a Google form.
And
yeah.
And so the idea is that Elias, you will, and there will be an email that comes out outlining a procedure similar to the one that was used in the past that Mary Lou sent out, probably, of how that application process will be handled.
Mm-hmm.
And if anybody else wants to be on the committee, feel free.
I assume that's one of the board members. Or should I assume?
Three people is enough.
Yeah, maybe three people is enough, I don't know. So talk to Mary Lou, see who she had on her committee. It's a good idea, Denise.
And the committee's not gonna select the individual.
Right, exactly. You're just gonna do the work.
Applications and come forward with a list of candidates that the board will then vote on as a whole to decide.
Right. All right, okay, so that nominating committee is formed. It has its initial task, and also Elias, we also need to figure out the turnover as well, and figure that out and make a recommendation to the board next time about that as well. But I would hope that we can get a recommendation by the next board meeting. One of the things that you'll have to do though is, as a committee, you're going to have to comply with FOIA. So there has to be notice and all that kind of stuff. I can help you with that.
Okay. Are they in executive session or open session?
It
probably executive, since it's dealing with resumes.
I don't think it was.
You talk to Mary Lou.
Well, I'll talk to Mary. Yeah. I don't remember it being an executive last time, but maybe parts of it were.
Talk to Mary Lou. Okay. Does that sound good? Natural renewal. Okay.
All right. I want to say thank you.
Okay. Finally, a report of the search committee. So the search committee has met since the middle of January. We've met probably, I don't know how many times. More than a handful. We've done a lot of work. So I thank everybody that's on the committee. They've done a fantastic job. We've been here on really cold nights. Snowstorms. And I think I canceled on snowstorms. But I really thank everybody that's been a part of the search committee. They've been a great asset to this school. And we've done a lot of really good work in spite of myself. But one thing that came, we posted the positions, the three positions, one full-time, one consultancy, back in December and January. So they were out there for a month. We got, about 27, 28 resumes, in through Sandy and other sources. We conducted seven interviews along the way. A couple really high quality individuals actually dropped out at one point, which was kind of disappointing, but we do have a good base that the search committee can make a recommendation to the board. That's just my personal opinion. The search committee did have some questions and wanted some clarification about what the board's position was on this process. So what I did, and it has to do with the potential director position. So what I did, I sent you guys around the director position. And if anybody on the search committee has any comments, feel free to make me know. So when we started this job description, it was drafted and then approved by the board back in December. The position was approved by the board in November, and then the job description was drafted and approved by the board in December. I think that's the chronology of this. So, and we all kind of thought that really development was the key. That's why it's called the Director of Development primarily. But there are also issues about strategic partnerships and Hellenic initiatives that there was discussion on the board that we kind of had an idea that these were important for the school moving forward. So the search committee in doing its discussions and engaging in its discussions, has wants to ask the board, what is the board's vision of what this position could be? Is it just a development position, in a sense? Is it only for fundraising? Or do we also add in some of these other duties that we've kind of said, push them off a little bit, and not push them off, but not glom in with development? For example, the strategic partnerships and things and more Hellenic initiatives that Dr. Marina discussed tonight, the MOU with the University of Delaware, University of Thessaloniki, and other things like that. Is it the board's desire that we only have someone focused on development, or do we have somebody, I call it this at the search committee, development plus? So that's the question that the search committee posed. And I want to open it up for discussion at the board level.
Remind me really quick, who created this, who created the job description?
So this job description was created based on a lot of the work that the succession committee did. It was drafted by me and Ricardo, and had input from Denise as well. And and so I want to open it up to the board to give the search committee guidance as to how the search committee should tailor its recommendation. And for me personally, the way that I kind of envisioned this process from the beginning is that the search committee is be flexible, and they recommend multiple avenues potentially to the board, either in a director of development, a development consultant, or the full director of development, strategic partnerships, and Hellenic initiatives, which, by the way, we might want to also consider changing the name. It's a little cumbersome. But the idea is, what do we want to say to the search committee? When you make your recommendation, focus on this type of position. Is it just development, or is it development plus other things like strategic partnerships and Hellenic initiatives?
So when this motion was made by Elias and I seconded it, the vision of
which motion?
The motion to create this committee, to create the position, and with the input with Laura, we tailored a verbiage that included a number of
options
and skill sets that would be part of this position. And fundraising, although it is important and maybe one of the most important, is not the only skill set that's necessary. Matter of fact, all these other skill sets are very, very close second. And just having a fundraising only can't be justified with a full-time position. It needs to be expanded, especially with the outreaches, because that can be included in the fundraising with the AHEPA and with the universities abroad, including Harvard, University of Delaware, University of Thessaloniki, and Plattas. So I firmly believe that this position should be more than just fundraising. It should be in addition to other skill sets. And we want the best individual possible to fill that slot.
Are we talking a third head of school?
No. We're talking about somebody that's working with external funding outside the school, with fundraising being outside external funding, plus also with negotiating with other universities outside the school. We're talking about contracts with other entities like academia. We're talking about everything outside of the operations and the academics within this school.
Well, that would be a third component then. And Joe, in the one board meeting, excuse me if I misspeak, but either in December or January, you had said you can't rule out a third head of school. So are we in fact talking a third head of school?
Well, I mean, it depends on what, one, it depends on the recommendation of the search committee, and two, it depends on what this board ultimately decides. I don't know what you mean by third head of school, but I think that—
A third administrator.
I think that this the way that I, myself, envision this position is somebody that would spearhead development and anything else this board wants that person to spearhead and be responsible for and be held accountable for, but also collaborate when necessary with the head of school and the campus operations officer and anybody else, but then also directly report to the board. That's how I have envisioned this.
So that would be, in essence, a third person. But yet we're looking at having a third person who has no one, in essence, underneath them. If we're looking at head of school, director of operations, and then director of development //, but then this individual has no underlings. And in fact, aren't these things with the Hellenic and with the strategic partnerships being done somewhat by Dr. Marina?
So, I don't want to speak directly for Marina, Dr. Marina. But to me, when she read her her speech a little while ago, I don't want to speak for Marina and say something on the record that's going to be used later as fodder. I think the idea is that, look, Marina's not necessarily going to be here forever.
Well, then can we
so hold on
it
hold on
later
and And so we need, as a school, to be able to prepare for that future. And I think more the idea is, if the board thinks it's important and an applicant is able to check those boxes, then the board should consider it. If there's nobody that can check those boxes, then...
Well, what if those boxes were specifically tailored to one individual?
Well, they're not. They're tailored to the needs that of this school that the succession committee identified. And whether or not you agree with that, that's fine. It's your opinion.
Yeah.
But we've gone through this process for more than 8 months, and it's a pretty detailed and thorough process that the search committee just requests a little bit of clarity on.
And what about the thought process that DOE emailed to all of us?
I don't think that has anything to do with this, Tammy. And again, you're going into confidential school matters in an open session, which is highly inappropriate.
I don't recall that email being labeled as confidential.
So it is. As part of the commission that it's in, it's confidential.
Well, I concur that if we can take care of everything, because I heard some things the other day about possibly having grant writers and whatnot. That's great for grants, but then the grants aren't always there, and then their position dries up. But if we can have one person that can handle all these, then it's right there in the title. I mean, we might want to shorten it a little bit because it is a little cumbersome, but it's beyond a director of development. It is taking all these components that were agreed upon back in December and finding that person that can do it.
Do you need a motion? To come back to the search committee?
I think we need... I think so. I think we need to have a motion to
I don't think it's a formal thing. I mean, I think
no. Okay.
We established this job position. It was flexible enough to say if we can't find someone that fits all the roles, then we can say we can hire individual consultants or part-time people that have expertise, but it's a one-dimensional set of expertise, right? It's not a multi-dimensional set of expertise. But being that there was a fairly large number of people that applied, I don't know anything about any of them because I don't know who applied, and I don't know what their qualifications are. But if there are individuals on there that meet all these needs, we should probably, it's more cost-effective for us to bring on one person to work the stuff full-time than to bring on two or three or four part-time people that in the end would probably wind up costing more in the long run. So I think it's, if we can get it all, I think we're better off. If not, if we can't get it all in one person, then we should go ahead and look at two or three people to help execute these functions.
To add to some of the discussions in the search committee also, we had sought out some proposals from contractors too. Because at first, that was kind of my thought, is that maybe we just contract it. Because, for instance, I understand that the school will always have the need for the fundraising and things like that. There'll always be something there. But our big immediate need was making sure that we could do the school gym and the gym art science facility. And so I had wanted to explore routes of contractors doing that. The issue that we ran into with... Did we talk to four or five?
Yeah, I talked to like consultant companies that just deal with fundraising, and all of them started it with, well, we would come in and work with your director of development. And I'm like, well, we don't have one.
Yeah. Like, oh. I mean, I talked to three myself. I think you talked to at least three or four.
Six. Yeah.
And then, and we had some proposals sent too, because I was hoping, you know, that it could be something like that. But it did turn out that they either had the expectation that there would already be a department in place with whom they would work and make more efficient or something like that. But all of the projected numbers that they came up with were large.
I think mine was 167 for like 90 man hours or something.
So
spread out over like 10 people.
So that became not really the viable option for us. So then that's why we started really looking at the positions, if a contract could come in, because there is a thought that if it's fundraising and if it were a contracted position for that, again, the big gym art science facility is kind of, that's at least a finite goal that we're really looking towards with our capital campaign, things like that. Through the research I've done, I agree there should be someone managing that, like a point person kind of thing. And even looking at that, we didn't get as many applicants, though, for the consultant position as we did for the full-time position, too. But I think that that's part of, so we had tried to explore other opportunities, other things, but it had come up in the search committee, just that point of clarification for the board to have that discussion to say if our emphasis is, again, that fundraising, that big ticket item right there, is that our priority, and finding someone who can really do that and really do that well, and we're glad if they can do the other things, but if we find someone who's really good at that, we were trying to find out if that was okay, according to the board, or if the board had, if the board as a unit was thinking that all three of those buckets ought to be fairly evenly addressed, or at least well addressed.
Yeah, addressed at some point.
Close. Yeah.
So I think that so to give kind of some history too to where the conversation came.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be a disservice if we did not include those, because if they're that close, then one person doing multiple jobs validates their salary.
Okay.
You guys are not going to listen to me, but I believe that the fundraising is the key. We have staff here. We're overlooking the Greek staff that we currently have on board who've been here for years. But alas, that's my opinion. Fundraising is number one. That should be it. Director of development. But it certainly should not be an individual who is on par with Denise or Ricardo.
Okay. Okay, we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Okay, so I think that the instruction to the search committee is that the board would prefer the development plus option to keep it simple. Good. I like that better, Laura. The board prefers a person who can fill all of the three options. Okay. All right. So
could I add on there with an emphasis on fundraising?
Yes. Yes, you may. I don't think that's inappropriate. And the next search committee will be noticed when I get around to it. Finally, let's move on to good of the school. I'll start off. So Denise, Ricardo, and I have been working on setting a more structured schedule for town hall meetings. So what I've done with Denise and Ricardo's kind of approval is to map out the next year of town hall meetings. The next town hall meeting, I think, will be, don't hold me to this, but an email will come out, is March 13th. Right? That's the kind of the anticipated next town hall meeting. It's not set in stone, but that's kind of the idea. Email is forthcoming. And then so the idea is to have, and Denise brought up a good point today. So the idea is to have one about every 2 months, especially during the school year. So we had one in January. We have one in March. We have one in May. End of the school year. I don't think anybody wants a town hall meeting in June. I'll open this to general a question, and I'll open it up to the board too, but more the community. I'm going to use a president's privilege for this. What would be more convenient for people? And Tammy, I want to hear your opinion on this, because this is when teachers are going to be coming back to school. Mm-hmm. Is it better to have a town hall meeting in July or August? August?
Latter August.
Yeah. So I'm thinking of the second Wednesday of every month. So latter August would conflict with the board meeting.
I don't know, we haven't even thought about the calendar when
should it be
reporting back, because we don't report back.
It'll likely be like the week before we come back, and that's why I thought that, I assumed that staff would probably be soaking up the last days of the
year.
So should it be like not the second Wednesday, but maybe the fourth Wednesday of August? Would that be better? Like, for example,
right before Labor.
Yeah, right before Labor Day. You guys are all teachers are all back.
28th.
Yeah.
September,
November. Plus,
my question would be, who's the intended audience for the town halls? It's probably the parents and the teachers, and most of them have probably no interest in coming to the school in the summertime, right? And so I don't know.
Teachers are always here.
So I know they come in kind of in August for some prep work and stuff like that. But is it better off being, instead of having it August and then October, is it better off having something at the start of the year to say, hey, it's September.
Yeah.
Here's what we're kicking off, and just leave the summer alone, unless we're going to have one at the end of June. Right. Says.
So if you can do like two town halls in the fall. Before, either September or November.
September's busy.
Or at the end of September.
Yeah. And then have two in the spring.
Yeah, Katie, what do you say?
Remember in August when we did the World Class Employees thing during in service? Maybe we could have a short one for teachers, just for staff to touch base with the board.
Yeah, well, that would be a different form.
Right? Yeah, I think that would be, that wouldn't necessarily be a town hall meeting.
Right, it would just
but
be
we can do
yeah, I think that's a good annual thing every year to do outside of the town hall. Lori?
Would it be too much, Jackson Campus is where you could, would it be too much to do it during the sneak peek night when parents are coming anyway for the sneak peek? Sneak peek is bonkers.
And then I feel like we'd be at just a sideshow.
Yeah.
August 20th. Before Labor Day.
Yeah.
All
right. Well, so this is something we can think about.
I'm thinking how crazy the beginning parts of school are too. So maybe September, like honestly, September may be a better bet because the last in service and then,
Maybe have
if we have construction and teachers are moving classrooms and...
Have mid-September and mid-November?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so that would be January,
you know, depending upon
March,
construction aspects and those sorts of things.
January, March,
May.
Thank you.
Five.
And then skip to September and November.
Five.
So that's five in a year. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I like
that's well
better.
Distributed.
Okay.
Yeah. So you can plan the dates on
you know,
that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like, yeah, we'll get rid of the August one and put a September one in. And then.
I sent you a draft today.
I saw that.
Okay.
I just didn't have a chance.
So, well, do you want me to update this?
Do you mind?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes,
no,
you
I
do
mean,
mind.
No, I don't.
Yeah. 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 That will still be done. Yeah. That's That's outside of this town hall stuff. So. And also there were mostly parents at the first town hall meeting that we had anyway.
Is it second Wednesdays or fourth that you're
It'll be second Wednesdays.
Okay. That's better since it's November. That's better because of Thanksgiving.
Oh yeah, and it doesn't conflict with the PTO, does it? The PTO is always
the first
Wednesday.
These are assuming you keep the meetings are all on the same days that they've been this year. Yes.
Okay.
It's first Wednesday.
They wouldn't be?
PTOs are first Wednesdays as long as they
right.
stay
okay.
there.
I think we should probably, can you talk to the head of the PTO about that and try to say, let's have all uniforms so that everything lines up.
Sure.
We're also going to start them at 6:30 and go till 7:30. That's the anticipated time.
Is there a calendar on the website that outlines all these dates?
Not these dates.
But there is one.
Not
yeah,
yet.
There is one. Yeah.
And like a weekly one when you go to the right, it does like weekly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, there is
email
one.
Blast. So if we can get those put in so that people can look
yeah.
in case you're
and we're going to send an email out scheduling the next one and kind of laying out this schedule for the foreseeable future. Okay. Good.
But on the calendar that you put out today, does it include, I know it includes like in-service days, vacation days, holidays. Does it include, I don't remember, does it include board meetings, PTO meetings?
That's
that,
what he does, like have a
that one page
no, that does not, that's mainly just like days off, you know, and holidays, that
honest,
one
because that's something a lot of people I think print because it's easy, and if you had board meeting, town hall.
Maybe we can place it at the bottom even.
Or PTO meetings
yeah.
or something, like major.
The dynamic calendar on the website has all that information, but that one shooter is, but yes, I can look into that, yeah, right. Maybe do two
pumps.
All right, we can work on that.
Okay. Anything else for good of the school?
I don't.
Go ahead, Tim.
I just want to thank staff and teachers for the incident the other week. I wasn't here. I was down in Dover at a science training. But to get the messages and to know that you guys were taking care of our students. Like, I'm gonna get emotional because my kids were here. But thank you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, like, thank you all. And, you know, not only as a board member, but as a teacher, as a parent, you don't know what you're going into every single day. Yeah. But we know that our kids are number one and our kids are protected. And we stand directly in the line of fire. So. Guys, thank you.
I agree. I think everybody here is.
Even though it turned out to be nothing.
But it was a blessing in disguise because you never, even though you can go through all these trainings.
In your preparation, yeah.
This is the best thing. And I think Denise and Ricardo really did really well mobilizing everybody. So you two should be commended.
Good job, guys.
As well. Whoever else did it too. I don't know who else was on that team. But.
I just want to say though, it wasn't nothing. Technically, there's still an active investigation mm-hmm. going on, mm-hmm. and right, nothing, no
yeah,
incident
it did,
took
right,
place,
right.
but, you know,
somebody
it was a real threat. So I don't want to mince words, but
yeah,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah,
we
yeah.
have
somebody
to take everything
it.
That
right,
comes
it was,
in seriously.
No, it was a threat to the school that we always have to take incredibly seriously, And I think for the first time that it happened, I think it's the first time that happened, everybody did very well.
I'm sorry. But yeah, I mean, like, I rushed back here and to see our facilities guys guarding the gates and, you know, to mm-hmm. see everybody spending more than an hour with students in their classrooms and hunkered down.
Yeah, it's a shame.
It tells you.
Yeah.
So everything. Thinking back on what you're saying is, and I know that they're developing, that is my concern. I think it's great that they're going to head there. Is developing, but that is my big concern for the future, is the safety of the school with mm-hmm. the Wegmans and the, so I hope you really look into that to make
yep.
sure that we stay safe.
That's the thing that Ricardo highlighted tonight in his report, that it's that Wegmans and how that first, the
and
first proposal. Yeah.
That scares me, so.
It's going to be a reality soon, so all we can do is prepare and you know, negotiate with them the best we can to make.
If I just yeah. may, with regards to that, at the AI meeting that they had, that was very well attended, there were a couple of people that were talking about, okay, what kind of security supports would you be providing? And it was very interesting because they started by saying, well, we usually don't do anything. They said, well, and they ended up, well, we may be contemplating ideas like constables and things mm-hmm. like that.
They're not usually right next to a school of 18.
And they're not usually. And I see this candidly as an opportunity, as two landlords coming together and say, how do we leverage resources so that it's not one or the other paying for it and we all benefit from it? Because yes, we're going to have people going into their property and it's likely that they're going to have people coming into our property. I'm already thinking about the I'm not even thinking out that far. I'm thinking nearer term when they start construction. And they've got construction people. Are they going to sort of border it out, close it out? You know, those kinds of things. Those are the things that right now are spinning in my mind, which are more urgent. Because Wegmans is going to be the first construction that they're going to do in 2021. And once again, it gives us a two-year landing strip. And so I'm very pleased that they reached out to us and said, let's start the conversation.
And they're a very responsible employer. Right?
Yes.
They are the most highly rated supermarket by the employees mm-hmm. out of any, by far. Like everybody that works there says, I love mm-hmm. Wegmans. And I want to stay here forever. Where you go to other chains and people are like, I
what
can't
about Trader
get
Joe's?
Out here.
Come on.
But Wegmans is a lot. They are very highly rated by their employees. They take care of their people, and I can't imagine that they wouldn't work with the campus here and the community here to make sure that everybody is happy with what's going on around their
yeah.
establishment.
They're very
just so you know too, at the meeting, I was pointing out that they're right near the little school, and we've got
where they drop off
kindergartners
like
who love big trucks and things like that. So I just was pointing out too that although there is a fence there, that there's extra caution that needs to be taken there. I like to hear that Ricardo was talking about, you know, if there's going to be any barriers or anything to help, especially during construction time, to help protect the kids. So mm-hmm. that was one of the things that I brought up at the meeting.
Yeah. So thank you, Demetri. It's on everybody's radar. Anything else for good of the school?
I do. I have a good school.
Okay.
I just want to say thank you for everybody that helped with the gala that the HEPA brought in. Over $100,000 that we brought in. For a nominal investment, it paid off well for the school. And we're going to use that money in creating the auditorium and build up fit out the rooms for the rising seniors. And doing so, HEPA made some emblems, shields, to show the values and the principles of what HEPA stands for. And we made 8 of these shields. And we used them for the gala from HEPA. And then they decided after the gala was finished, they took these shields and they donated it to our school. In Greek and in English.
Careful.
And as you can see, these are our principles and our values, which include truth, reason, beauty, joy of life, individual freedom, free mind, and excellence. All of these values and principles are what we as a HEPID have started with the school from its inception 12 years ago. And we want to continue this forward, not just for us, as it happens, but for our children, children of our friends, and the families. So we would like to donate these to the school and have these presented or shown through the help of administration in the common areas for the buildings that people come in to see what we stand for as a school. Thank you.
For the board to see. Thank you, Mike.
Take a look on the way out.
Thank you, Mike.
So he's here for now. We got 8 of them made, so they're all going to be donated. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Michael. Anything else for the good of the school? No? Is there a motion to adjourn?
Yes, there is.
Michael, I second it.
Everybody seconded it.
All right.
Second it.
All in favor? Aye. Thank you very much.
We might need to get another one.
Yeah, you think? Sorry.